Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
We're starting a series, and Pastor Trevor actually started it last week, called Acts in Action. And I think I announced that to you before Christmas and before the new year. I was looking at a piece of paper on the wall in our office, and it said the values of Comox Pentecostal Church. And I was thrilled when I read the values of this church. Now, it was developed under the time of Pastor Dave Postal. I haven't seen Pastor Dave this morning. I don't know if he's here or not, but under Pastor Dave and Pastor Mike Bedell. And as I read through those values, one particular day I thought, Lord, that is just the book of Acts in action. Really, the values that you have as a church is nothing more than the book of Acts. And so with Pastor Trevor and Anton and Sandy in the office, we talked about it and said, you know what, let's do a series on those values. And I think I told you I tried to find some pithy title, and I wasn't very pithy before Christmas, so we're just going to call it Acts in Action. You realize we are a continuation of the book of Acts. You know that, don't you? And so if the writer of Acts was still around, he'd be a couple of thousand years old, but he'd be writing maybe about Comox Pentecostal Church, and the believers in Comox did so-and-so and such-and-such, and the believers in Courtney did so-and-so and such-and-such, and we are a continuation of what God began through his Holy Spirit in the book of Acts right through to today and right through to the day when Jesus comes again. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in our own lives. Anton and I were in prayer again this morning as we came up to Comox, and we were surrendering again our lives for anything that Holy Spirit wanted this year. This time last year, we were involved in Life Church, as you know, and still love Life Church. Had no idea that we would be here in Comox. And so God has surprises for us every year. God has plans that we know nothing about. And our great joy, and can I say our great privilege, is to be engaged with Holy Spirit to say yes. When the Lord calls, he knows in my life, and Anton anyway, if I know it's of God, the answer is yes. Hang the consequences. If I know it's of God, the answer is yes. Because someday I want to be able to stand before my wonderful Heavenly Father and say, Dad, we did it. I didn't do it through your strength. Didn't do it through my plans. Pardon me, I didn't do it through my strengths. I didn't do it through my plans. And I often wonder, Daddy, I often wonder what on earth you were up to. But we did it. And I want to hear him say, yep, good, well done. Our joy on earth is the promise of eternity. And very often we lose sight of it. I remember people saying, what's my purpose on earth? Can I give you your purpose on earth? It's to know God and enjoy him. That's your purpose. Your purpose is to know God and enjoy him. Yeah, but Anne, give me something solid. Am I meant to be this, this, or this? Or should I do this, this, or this? I don't know. But what I know is we were created and we were called to know God and enjoy him forever. And then in knowing God and enjoying him, he will bring things into our lives and into our experience that will thrill us, that will surprise us, and that will ultimately draw us closer to him so that he can continue to breathe his spirit into us and do what he wants. You see, we're not here to build, now hear me clearly, please. We're not here to build Comox Pentecostal Church as a single entity. Now, we are looking for a new pastor for you folks this year. And I'm believing God has somebody just perfect. And I'm believing that that person is going to come in and we're going to see Comox Pentecostal Church grow and change and develop and have new ideas and new things happen. And you know that Anton and I will be cheering for you, and you may see our face once in a while just to check up on you. But we're not here just to build Comox Pentecostal Church. We are here to build the kingdom of God of which Comox Pentecostal Church is a part. And so we need to have big vision thinking, big vision people. We need to understand that God is not confined to time and space. God is not confined to our thinking. God is beyond our time and space. And what he desires for Comox Pentecostal, what he desires for Courtney Comox, Vancouver Island, Canada, and beyond, is beyond anything that we will ever personally be able to see, because we are limited by finite time and space. But when we see Jesus, someday. Do you know, I don't know if it'll be this. Well, I tell you what, somebody asked Billy Graham, how do you live? He said, I plan the future, but I live as though Jesus was coming this afternoon. Isn't that great? Don't negate, don't ignore planning and being wise in your life. You must plan. You must understand what you need to do. But wouldn't it be something if the trumpet sounded just now? Then you wouldn't have to listen to this sermon. I was hoping to hear more of a, but it's okay. But wouldn't it be something, Kim, if the trumpet sounded right now? And in an instant, we were taken home to be with him. But while we are here, we wait and we do the work of the kingdom. So we're going to talk about Holy Spirit today and next Sunday. And do you know what? I have to be honest with you. I may possibly take it into a third Sunday. Because Holy Spirit is so vital in who we are as believers. When I had you stomping this morning, could you feel freedom coming? Could you feel it? You see? And that I don't, you know, that wasn't planned. What I love about Holy Spirit is he sometimes whispers. You understand when I say whispers in my ear. I mean, I didn't hear ps, 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 ps. Anton, once in a while, whispers sweet nothings in my ear. Tell you a little secret. And he gets up nice and close and gets up to my ear and he says, nothing, nothing, nothing. And whispers sweet nothing. No wonder I love this man. But Holy Spirit whispers sweet somethings into our ears. And this morning he said, Ann, I was checking with him. Joel and team, thank you again for such an anointed time of worship this morning. I was saying, Holy Spirit, is this Ann Donkers or is this you? And I just knew in my spirit, I want to do something new in Comox Pentecostal. Get up and get it going. Get up and get it going. You see, I want to see you become a church of believers who are strong and do exploits for your God. Now, let's be honest. If you've lived long enough as I have, you have peaks and valleys in life. Isn't that true? And on the peak, you can do anything for the Lord. And in the valleys, you wonder if God exists. And sometimes that clouds our ability to look into the future. But as long as we are breathing and after we are gone, God is still God. And God is still at work. And we're invited to be part of it. So this morning, I'm going to introduce you to Holy Spirit. Now, let's be serious. You sat under, many of you, Pastor Dave Postal for 21 years. I know you have had wonderful sermons on the Holy Spirit. You sat under Pastor Chad, and I if he talked about Holy Spirit, I just don't know what series he did, but I'm sure it was wonderful. So I know that you folks know about Holy Spirit. I would not be arrogant enough to think this is the first time you've heard this. But I think it's good to refresh once in a while and allow me to introduce Holy Spirit to you again. My mother was in a nursing home. She was brain damaged for many, many years from a brain hemorrhage that she had. And so nursing homes are cute. They'll sit them at the same table, won't they? And in the latter years, on top of the brain damage, dementia hit. And she sat across, I don't know if I told you this story, forgive me if I have, but she sat across from, I'll call him George, I don't remember his name. And I went to the nursing home one day and I took her in her wheelchair up for dinner and put her in her chair and got her bib on her, you know, if you've been in nursing homes, all this stuff. And they began to eat. And the fella across from her, George, would take a few bites and then, whoop, and his face was in his mashed potatoes. And the nurses would come along and say, oh, George, you need to eat and clean him up. Yep. And he'd have another bite, whoop, back in the mashed potatoes. And so I said to Mom, I said, Mom, do you know George? No. Now, she's only sat across from him for the last 4 years. Oh, you don't know George? No, I don't. I said, oh, George, have you met my mom? I'll take that to be a no. So when George got up and got his face cleaned off, I said, now, Mom, this is George, and he's at the table with you. George, this is my mother, Irene. And my mother said, oh, hello, lovely to make your acquaintance. Now, they've been sitting across from each other for 4 years, but they, you know, I reacquainted them that night. It lasted all of 5 seconds, and I'm sure they didn't know each other again. But it's good to reacquaint yourself with Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what kind of background some of you have come from, if you were raised in Pentecostal assemblies. What I'll give you this morning is probably nothing new. I know there are a lot of, let me rephrase that. There are folks who come into churches like ours from the Mennonite background, from the Baptist background, from EV Free, from CRC, you name the backgrounds. And so I'm just going to work on this morning as though this is just a little bit fresh for all of us. Is that okay? Introduction to Holy Spirit this morning. Many love the Father. Many people talk about God the Father, and they love the Father, and those who love Jesus really love Jesus. But I found over my years that a lot of people are hesitant about the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think it's because of the history that was given and some maybe people who weren't quite as wise as the Lord might have wanted them to be in the past. You've all heard the stories, you know, they get filled with the Holy Spirit and they swing from the chandeliers and all that kind of stuff. Listen, no. Holy Spirit is such a gentleman that if he were here in the physicals, ladies, he's the one who would open the doors for you. He's the one who would pull your chair out and have you sit down and put your... Do you understand what I'm saying? Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. And let me say first and foremost, there is nothing to be afraid of when it comes to Holy Spirit. There's nothing to be afraid of. But I have found over the years that some people are hesitant. I love the Father, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son, Jesus, so that whoever believed in him... But don't talk about the Holy Spirit to me. Well, do you know, if you believe the Word of God, you have to talk about Holy Spirit. You cannot ignore. God never called us to pick and choose tidbits. Oh, I like that verse. It's like the guy was feeling bad, and he just said, Lord, you got to give me a verse. And he opened his Bible and put his finger down, and the verse was, and Judas went and hanged himself. And he said, Lord, that's not right. Try again. And he opened the Bible and put his finger down and says, go and do thou likewise. It's not... It's not... It's not like that. You can't pick and choose. Give me a word for today. If only you were to me like a brother who was nursed at my... Oh, let's not go there. So you can't pick and choose. If you believe in the Lord, you take the whole Word of God. And we need wisdom in the whole Word of God. You see, the Father sent the Son out of love. The Son sent us Holy Spirit out of love. Bishop Michael Bruce Curry said this, we must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will be able to make this old world a new world. Love is the only way. So the Holy Spirit was given by Jesus for us out of love. Just receive that for a minute. He said, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. And it's a love gift. Holy Spirit is a love gift to us. Now, one of the things I want to tell you about this, and I didn't put it in my notes, wouldn't you know it, was that you're in your values, this is what you say. We value the presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Comox Pentecostal Church, your statement says that you value the presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so let me introduce him to you today. This word spirit in Hebrew is ruach. And when you're talking in Hebrew, the emphasis is on the last syllable. So we would say ruach. But in Hebrew, they put the emphasis on the last syllable, and it's almost like a breathing. The spirit, ruach. The word for spirit in the Greek is pneuma, and both mean air in motion. They mean invisibility, movement, power, life. You can go to the next slide. They mean the concept of the invisible God in action. And if you go into Genesis 1, verse 2, next slide, you'll see this. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, was hovering over the waters. And so Holy Spirit is somebody that we don't see. I can see you. I can give you a name. I recognize you by the outside, by who you are, by how you look. And I know that you're in the room because I see something solid. But Holy Spirit is in this room, but we don't see him. But he is breathing and moving. In fact, Holy Spirit fills all things, and he is in all things, and he is that pneuma, that ruah. He is that invisible power. He is that movement. He is the very Spirit of God that enables us to do life and enables us to be filled with everything we need to do the will and the purpose of God. Yes? That's a good amen. Whoever gave that, I'll take it. Yes, church? All right, I want you to stay awake this morning. Because if you get this, you say, come on, Ann, I know this. Good, get it again. If you get this, you'll begin to do life differently. However, we need to regard Holy Spirit also as a person. We talk about God the Father. And if you've had a wonderful father, then you have a very wonderful image of the Father. If you've had a terrible father, then I pray healing for you today so that you can see a father for who he really is. We talk about God the Son, and we have the account of Jesus when he was here on earth. And so we have pictures that people have said, maybe he looks like this, maybe he looks like this. But we have a concept of a man who walked the earth for 33 years, of one who died on a cross, of one who was resurrected and ascended back to the Father. So we can get our minds around a father image. We can get our minds around a son image. And then we get to Holy Spirit and we go, what is that? It's not some sheet, you know, with two eyes cut out. It's just floating about on Halloween night going, ooh. It's not some, I want to say, ethereal thing. It's not some weirdo thing that just comes, boo. But Holy Spirit is fully God. The word Trinity we use, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he is fully God and gifted to us by Jesus. But we have to think of him in the same way as we think of Father and Son. And let me give you some scriptures to help you. You see, he's incredibly intelligent. I should hope so. I'm not being sarcastic here. But God is intelligence itself. And so Holy Spirit as God, if you go into 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, he gives gifts to each one. And then I've just cut that verse down because I don't want to stay there too long. Just as he determines. So Holy Spirit is intelligent and gives gifts, and he determines who receives the gift. Now, when you're doing studies on gifts of the Spirit, let me tell you, they're not the only ones listed in Corinthians. The gifts of the Spirit are limitless. Why? Because God is limitless. And God gives gifts of the Spirit to us all. He gives gifts to us. But what happens is people get stuck on a certain gift of the Spirit, and they are so stuck on that gift that they have it that they forget to look at the giver. If God uses you in a gifting, if God has anointed you in, I don't know, whatever it is, pick your gift, in the prophetic or in healing or whatever these things are, hospitality, whatever it is, be grateful that God has gifted you in those areas, but don't forget that the giver is far more important than the gift. And this is where people go off. This is where pastors and leaders and mighty men and women of God fall. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your leaders. Pray for Anton and I while we're here. This is where people go off. Because it's so easy to be so taken up with your gift. God has anointed me to change the world. That you start going off and doing your own thing. And you forget the very giver is right there. And he won't let anybody else have his glory. Nor should he. And so when you see a leader or somebody's struggle that's been very gifted, don't be critical. Be sad. because they've lost sight of the one who gave them the gift in the first place. Keep your leaders in prayer. Pray for whoever it is that God is going to bring to you. Holy Spirit is a person. He has intelligence. He's omniscient. And it says 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, read verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Now listen. God reveals to us his will through his Spirit. Through Holy Spirit. God reveals to us what he wants. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things. This intelligent Holy Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God, and reveals to us what the will of God is as we are willing to listen and receive. There's a very famous evangelist back in the 40s and 50s and even into the 60s, some of you will remember her name, and her name was Catherine Kuhlman. How many of you in my generation and on remember Catherine Kuhlman? She was just a very quirky little lady, little redhead, never got her hairstyle out of the 30s and 40s, single lady, but anointed beyond my ability to describe. And hundreds of thousands of people are in the kingdom today because of this little funny little Catherine Kuhlman. And that was back in the day of the piano and organs, and I remember flicking the TV, I'd be about 16 years old, and all of a sudden there's Catherine Kuhlman on, and I happened to flick it on, and that was back in the days when you had to go to the TV and turn the knob. Yes, I'm that ancient. And so you had to turn the knob. And she would always wear this white flowing gown and this red hair, and she'd sort of breeze onto the stage in such a, and she'd say, "Have you been waiting for me?" And I flicked the TV and said, "Nope." But in later years, I began to read about this dear woman of God. And I remember one week I read her book, and Holy Spirit touched my life in a way that I've never been the same. We were on holidays. It was March break, honey. And we brought our boys over to Mount Washington. We met Anton's sister and her family and kids there. We had a cabin up there, and we're skiing, and the whole time I'm skiing, now I'm not a good skier, but I got out there with the boys as best I could, and Anton, I'd be saying, "Holy Spirit, don't leave me. Holy Spirit, no." Yeah, I know how that sounds, but it was "Don't leave me on the ski hill, whatever you do." But it was more than that. My spirit was hungering for God like never before. And all of the families would be in bed late at night, and I'd be sitting up, "Holy Spirit, don't leave me." We drove to Victoria then and had a couple of days in Victoria with the boys. "Holy Spirit, don't leave me." And that's all I could pray. Not that he would. He said he comes and he stays. But there was something in my heart, "Holy Spirit, don't leave me." And we got back, and I was pastoring at CLA, you know, on staff then. And I had like a business meeting with our women's leaders. There were about 16, 20 of us sitting around the board table on that Monday morning. And I opened my mouth and said, I got to tell you, gals, Holy Spirit's doing something. And before I knew it, they were all sitting there crying, and we were wrecked. And we had a Thursday morning prayer and healing meeting, and I was in charge of that meeting that morning. And I got up to speak, and I said, "I don't know what's going on, but Holy Spirit's doing something." That thing went from about 9 to 11. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I had to get people up off the floor and say, "Please, you have to go home." Because Holy Spirit was just... And the thing that touched me so much in that book and that began that whole series of events, and that I didn't know when I saw her, "Have you been waiting for me?" is in these huge arenas and stadiums, the service would start, say, at 7 at night, whenever it did, but she would be under the stage from 10, 11, 12 that day, all day, just, "Holy Spirit, don't leave me. Holy Spirit, don't. Holy Spirit, don't leave me." So that when she came on stage, she would say, "Don't ever hurt Holy Spirit. He's the only friend I have." And I cry thinking about it. Because I think, as a people, we've forgotten how precious he is. And I need him to forgive me. Because I think as a people, we take him for granted. And he's far more precious than that. Holy Spirit, don't leave us. Don't leave us. Hundreds of thousands were saved, brought into the kingdom. Because one lady accepted a gift, but she never lost sight of the giver. So God reveals things to us by his Spirit. He searches all things. Holy Spirit is life itself. Romans 8, verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit brings life, but the flesh brings death. I don't know about you, but if I've had a busy week and I can get into the Word of God, sometimes, you know, I can only get 5 minutes in a rush day. Do you know what I'm saying? Or whatever it is. But it brings life. It's like, it's that ruah. It's the Spirit of God bringing life. You see, he is emotional. We talk about people. Oh, they're so emotional. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He's able to be grieved. That kills me. He's able to be grieved. I don't want to be one of the ones that grieve him. And then he is able to reach and touch all men and all women. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Let me show you something. I hope you're getting a feel for Holy Spirit this morning. Acts chapter 2. Somebody stole it out of my Bible. Oh, could you take any longer, Anne? Here we go. Verse 16 to 21. Let me read this for you. This is Peter speaking, and he's speaking to the people who had just saw them being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that on another week. He said, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. That's you and I. Remember, he said it's a gift of love? We're some of the all people that God promised he'd pour his Spirit out on. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Wow. Holy Spirit doesn't say, you know, God doesn't say, I'll give you a little bit, and if you behave, I'll give you a little more. No, he goes, I'm going to come like a raging wave. Like, when we were on a cruise ship this last 2 weeks, one afternoon, the captain came on at noon. He said, folks, we're in for some rocky weather. He said about 40 knot gale force winds, and Anton and I are boaters, so we understood it was going to be windy. But he said, no worries, we've put everything in place. Well, that evening, Anton and I were out on the deck watching. They had movies under the stars, a big screen, just cute little clean movies. And we were watching with those with the friends we were with, and my girlfriend leaned over to me. She said, oh, man. This can't be 40 knot. It feels more like a hurricane. And the next morning, the captain came on again, and he said, folks, I thought I'd update you on yesterday's wind and last night. He said, actually, it was double the wind we expected. They were 80 knot winds. We were only 2 knots short of a Category 2 hurricane. And so, you know, we were fine. And but the wind came in like... Now, this is a big boat, you know, cruise ships, and the waves were hitting it and splashing. I was getting wet. What were we on the 15th deckhand? And I was feeling the spray from the waves hitting the ship. See, and Holy Spirit wants to come in like that. Holy Spirit wants to knock you over, pick you up, put you on your feet, and let you go. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not just going to give you a little bit. He's going to pour into you. And see, I love this. He talks about men and women. It's all inclusive. He talks about the young and old. He talks about servants who wouldn't have been felt in that, accepted in that society. He says, I'll pour my Spirit on you. And then he says, and Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Come on. That's who Holy Spirit is. It's gotten quiet in here. Do you know what Holy Spirit's doing something this morning? He is. That's who Holy Spirit is. In the Old Testament, he was on the leaders for anointing. We'll talk about Joseph in 41. He anointed Joseph for wisdom. We talk about Moses. You can read it in Numbers 11. He anointed Moses for leadership. We talk about Bezalel in Exodus 31. He anointed him for creativity. The Holy Spirit put special anointing on special people for special purposes in the Old Testament. It wasn't a free gift to all at that point. And then he talks about his own servant, Jesus, in Isaiah 42, 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. God prophesies through Isaiah and says, this is the one I've chosen. This is the one I delight in. Any one of you who have children or grandchildren can say the same thing. But God establishes his role as father, and he says, this is my servant. This is the one I love. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. An anointing for leadership. But in the New Testament, it's an anointing for every believer. Luke 1:35, though, let me just pull these two together. The Holy Spirit came on Mary. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit creatively worked God himself into a womb. How do you take all of God and place him in a person's womb? I don't know. But that was done by Holy Spirit creatively. In Acts 13:2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work. And he put an anointing of leadership on them. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's the anointing of wisdom that God has for each one of us. And Luke 3:16, John answered them and said, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire is a cleansing agent. Fire is a refining agent. Holy Spirit will baptize you with himself and cleanse and refine and empower you to be a kingdom builder. You see, 2 Peter 2, verse 9 makes sense now, but you are a chosen priesthood. You. Are a chosen priesthood, a holy nation. Oh, gosh, Anne, you know, I don't feel very holy this morning. Tell you the truth, neither did I. But the Word of God says we're a chosen priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Hallelujah. Stand with me, would you? Music team, will you come back up? Holy Spirit is a gift of love. Holy Spirit is anointing for all believers. Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Holy Spirit is a person in that he can has intelligence. He determines things. He knows all things. He searches all things. You can grieve Holy Spirit. But aren't we glad that if we grieve him, we come on, y'all make yourself at home now. Aren't we glad that if we grieve Holy Spirit, we have one that we can call and repent, and he forgives us of our sins, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Church, I wasn't underneath this pulpit for 5 hours this morning saying, Holy Spirit, don't leave me. I was driving down the highway, coming to Comox with Anton. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to change our hearts. And over the next few Sundays, as we talk about Holy Spirit, I know some of you are expecting Acts 1:8. I'll work into that. I want to give you some background so you understand. But I believe that Holy Spirit wants to change our hearts, and I believe that Holy Spirit wants to ignite something in each of us. And I include myself. I need Holy Spirit to refresh me again. I need it. I desire it. I believe God wants to do something in our hearts. So if you're with me, would you just lift your hands if you can? And I'm going to ask you to say what Catherine Kuhlman said. There's just something about saying that. Just quietly in your spirit, say, Holy Spirit, don't leave me. Holy Spirit, don't leave me. Don't leave me, Holy Spirit. Don't turn your face from me, Holy Spirit. God in heaven, don't leave me. Holy Spirit, we hunger and we thirst after you this morning. We realize our deep need for you this morning. We understand that unless you do something in our lives, we are hopeless and helpless. And yet we are thrilled that Jesus said, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm sending you, Holy Spirit. Would you do something with me? Would you just breathe deep breaths? So, you know, it's symbolic of receiving from Holy Spirit. Let's just breathe and just... Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray for everyone who needs a fresh touch this morning. That would be all of us. That as we breathe you in, Holy Spirit, you will begin to refresh our spirits. Begin to give us new hearts and new vision. Begin to give us new eyes. Lord, let us see with the eyes of God himself. Let us not become so taken with the gift that we forget the giver. Let us not become so taken with what we want that we forget the one who gives. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Lord, why do we worry? Why do we stew? Because Holy Spirit is here. And so we surrender ourselves to you today. We surrender ourselves to you today, Holy Spirit. And we anticipate good things from you as we go next week to look more at the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll look at the power of the Holy Spirit. We expect to be transformed. Lord, do a transforming work in our hearts today and begin something new, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So this morning, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, and we are anticipating your goodness. We are anticipating your refreshing. In fact, we receive it right now in Jesus' name, and we go from this place favored by God Almighty. We go from this place loved by God Almighty, and we go from this place confident that you will not leave us, but that you will fill us to overflowing and build your kingdom here on earth. Your will be done here, even as it is in heaven. We give you praise, and now, Lord, we go with your blessing. In the name of Jesus, we pray all of these things. Thank you, Father. Amen. Go in joy, go in blessing, and have a wonderful week. God bless you all.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.